You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Bar Rescue After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bar Rescue After Show.
And don't you let them get you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We have Roya engineering for us, so we're a little off-cue tonight. Dorinda, why so far away?
Because I think you're going to hit me, too.
Why am I? You think I'm going to hit you?
We both watched the same episode.
I would never hit you.
Are you sure about this?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, let's do
this. We'll go a little closer. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Bar Rescue After Show.
Crap out of me.
I am your host, Phil Svitek, joined alongside Dorinda Barker.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
And for the second week in a row, unfortunately, Kevin is out promoting his reality show, Chasing Maria Menounos, on the Oxygen Network, airing Tuesdays at 10 p.m., 9 Central. So he will not be here today, but I do once again have his thoughts. And such a shame, because of all episodes, Kevin.
It's the one you would want, especially the banter, would be amazing.
It really would. But hey, you have us nonetheless. And as I said, I do have Kevin's thoughts. And it's great that it was an episode for me where we had John, who obviously we know so well, and then Russell, who, you know, we've seen numerous times on the episode, but you and I now know him personally.
Yeah.
So it, at least in that way, it felt familiar.
Yeah, we were like, oh, these are our friends going in to do their job.
Yes.
That's what it actually felt like. I was like, oh, look at my friends.
Before we get into the episode fully, I want to talk about this because, you know, I've been teasing you for the longest time that the episode three, this is the big one.
Yeah.
That something's going to happen. And lo and behold, Facebook and Taffer and Nicole and everyone kind of involved teased it, hashtag Taffer walks.
They did.
So, how do you feel about that? Because, I mean, ultimately knowing that, once they revealed it, and after I had seen the episode, I was like, okay, you know what? The dramatic irony of it all felt good.
Yeah, and deserving of his walking out.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
we'll talk about that.
Oh, don't, yeah.
But just from a promotional aspect.
It was great. It was great. Because at first I'm like, why are you getting, because that's like the whole gist of this episode is that happening. I want it to be a surprise. But then it made sense to see him do it and know that he's going to do it, because then there's anticipation.
Yeah. So I agree. You know, I was a little nervous before watching it, but as soon as I watched it, I was like, I 100% understand why this is happening the way it did.
Yes.
And just even overall, you know, so knowing that going into this episode, for me, I was like, okay, you know, are we gonna get into this? Like, when's he gonna walk out, and how are we gonna stretch this out? Is he gonna walk out during the recon? Is he gonna walk out during the stress test? And you know, for the most part, I felt, you know, kind of getting a little bit ahead, but after the recon and he gives the ultimatum, mm-hmm. when he comes back the next day, when he walks out, I felt that was production telling him, like, hey, you have to come, you can't. So I don't know how much of that was John, you know, forcing himself back, or I don't, you know.
I agree with you, because my personal opinion is I don't think he would have came back. In all the years that he has done this, I don't think he would have really ever came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was deplorable actions, deplorable on all. I was going to say something, but I might get in trouble for saying it. But they were like savages.
Why? Okay, if there's anything directed at them, this is a free zone.
Okay.
I will not punch you.
Okay.
We have a mutual understanding. Fans will not punch you.
Exactly. Roy is far enough.
Yeah.
We're good. But they acted like I have never in my life, and don't get me wrong, like I said, I have worked in some places. I've seen the two brothers fight and one brother knock another brother out on the dance floor, which was something I was like, oh, this, and then watching this was even worse. I thought that might have been one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
It was, you know, I mean, there was nothing about this bar that I liked. Just even from the appearance alone. First off, I know I get fixated on the stupidest of things, but O-Face, DJ, dancing, and karaoke. Just I understand there's lots of things to cover in tonight's episode that are far greater than that. But what the hell was that? And Amanda's the DJ? Really?
What the hell? Okay, so who, first of all, names their bar O-Face? First of all, somebody has watched Office Space way too many times. It was like, ah, oh, this will be cool. Oh, it's just gross. I would never go into a place called O-Face.
I like Dave in, I don't know if it's naiveness or just what. Yeah, you know how you can't remember someone's face, so you go, oh, your face looks familiar. I mean, in a far distant future, maybe that might apply.
No, but people still watch that movie because I do at least twice a year. And I was like, no, who does this?
Just terrible. Just absolutely atrocious.
Oh, okay. Well, before we even go in, okay. One of my favorite comments were tonight when they were talking about where the doors were. There was one on one side of the building, one on the other side of the building, not one in front of the building, on either side of the building. And John says something to Russell. He goes, so what do you think about those two doors? He goes, you mean those two doors that I would never go in? I was like, Russell. Exactly. Why would you want that place? I loved how they're like, it looked like a trailer. It did. It looked worse than Headhunters.
Absolutely atrocious.
It really did look worse than Headhunters. And then, oh, yeah, it was just bad. It was so bad on so many levels. And that's even before they even walked in there, before all the other stuff went down. That's what we see.
I liked how John's like, Russell, what does O-Face, you know, make you think of? And Russell's kind of tiptoeing around. He's like, it's sexual, right, Russell? Just tell me. Like, it's okay.
it's a face that you make in the privacy of your own bedroom.
Yeah. Russell, it's okay.
It's because you're talking to John Taffer. It's kind of like talking to your dad. Like, you're going to tell your dad what O-Face really is?
But all right, let's go inside. So we have Matt, Karen, the couple. Worst couple. The gross. Absolutely atrocious.
Her bell, though, I will say, I will take one thing and one thing only from this episode as amazing. I'm not saying is her bell. She just ding, ding, ding. She never had to move. She sat at her thing and had her little pink bell. I thought that was amazing.
Here's what it, I in some ways shows, an effort. I'm trying to think of the right word because here's the thing, right? You knew what the goal was.
My nose a little bit.
Because everything was just geared. Everything in that bar was strategically geared for the necessities of her. And, yes. You know, nothing else mattered.
No, nothing. Everything was for her.
I'm sure even the oven pizzas, that was more for her.
Yeah, than it was for anyone else. My favorite thing is, like, you could tell, like, she ran all over her husband. He loved her to death. Loved her to death, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, first, they were alcoholics to the nth degree. And they were dependent on each other. And they helped everyone else with their alcoholism and drink. I've never seen so many people who work on one staff drink so much.
They were ridiculous. Let me read you guys Kevin's thoughts. You know, I never know if the perfect time to kind of get into it. But here's what Kevin wrote. Tonight's episode was disturbing. As a formal carnival worker, he's proud. You know,
He loves it. It got him to the point it
taught him a lot of lessons. And you know what? He's not ashamed of any of that.
You know,
he spent 10 years in the business where bosses and workers drank and drugged employers employers physically abused employees. They were the darkest and most vile group of bar owners he's ever seen, speaking of this bar. Mm. And from here on, I'm officially declaring Pirates off the AfterBuzz hook for the most insane episode. The Pirates owner was nutty, bratty, delusional, but not evil and certainly harmless.
Oh, she loved her employees.
Yeah. After seeing the ghouls at O-Face, I want to go to Pirates and drink grog with them and make merry. I have a new perspective. As far as O-Face goes, I was honestly scared for John. Despite his size, there were people... these people were ghastly and capable of hurting he and Russell. Adam Carolla has security on catch contractor. Spike needs to get someone for John. Lastly, check the O-Face website. On the front page, they have a stock photo of normal patrons at another bar, which I find hilarious. An amazingly shocking and entertaining episode. I wish I were in studio and not on a plane. Somebody prank call them from studio, which we will be doing. Which, by the way, I did – it's funny. You know, again, we do the staff viewing here at AfterBuzz, and we went to the website right after. And Steven, out of all people, was first to point it out of like – because it's this beautiful island, steel bar, and lots of, you know, like 20-something people like having a fun time. I'm like, it's not the bar.
Unless they wanted to go more in debt and redo it, which
– yeah, okay, clearly.
Well, that wasn't going to happen.
Clearly.
It was just so dysfunctional. Okay, so they're drinking. Amanda is an atrocious human being. I never want to be in an alley, dark alley with her. But, I mean, an atrocious human being. And she ran that show. She was a brute. She wasn't a broad. She was a brute. And the
way... it was more like a club.
Oh, it was...
Meaning club, like, as in, like, hey, we all get together. It was like Fight Club.
Yeah, it was more of a club than last week's actual club.
Yeah.
Just put it that way. And they're all, everyone's just sitting there drinking. And what she did to Sarissa was the most appalling thing I've ever seen in my life. And the way they allowed it, Matt and Karen allowed this to go down and happen. Once again, atrocious behavior of human beings.
Here's, you know, because the irony is, there's one. I would laugh. What? Back to your spots? No, we're not going back to our spots, Roy. But thank you.
Thank you. It's worth a shot. I didn't expect them to actually stop and read out loud, but that's cool.
For those of you who don't know, point the camera to yourself, Roya. Roya wrote us a note asking if we were to go back. Is that like saying that you think there's physical harm about to happen between us? No, we move closer together so because we understand that nothing, you know, we're in a sacred environment.
And when we're done with the show, I have a really funny story to tell you about something like that happened in this studio.
Anyway, the point being that here's Sarissa, and please forgive me if I'm butchering this girl's name.
I think it's Sarissa.
She's actually, out of all people, again, may not be the most competent, but she's trying in some way to do her job, whereas Amanda's like, just not about it. It'd be one thing if you're trying to reprimand her and things got out of proportion. Again, not right.
Yeah, still.
But at least, like, I could see the chain of logic in that.
But so Sarissa and Sick, his name was Brian, but he went by Sick, so we'll go by that. And he, to me, was a model employee. He was the only normalcy in that whole group. So they were the only two that really cared what was going on. Yeah. Cared. They how about when Amanda, Karen, and Matt go into the office? Or no, they go into the walk-in, not the office, and they do shots, leaving it for the inmates to go wild. It's true.
I mean, they didn't care. That didn't matter at that point.
Oh, and then so Sarissa goes in there and tells them, and then she's telling them someone is stealing your liquor. They're taking your liquor. Wait, did you notice though when Sick was behind there, the girl was giving him money so she can make her own drink. She was actually giving him money.
I didn't catch that.
I was like, wow. If I had to go behind a bar to make my own drink, you better know that I'm not giving them money. It's not going to happen. And it's so illegal for that. If someone had walked in at that moment, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really sad place. And I, you know, she had it coming, as what Karen said. Like, you had it coming.
She had it coming.
And I felt bad for, you know, he was put in the, you know, we see throughout this episode, he was put in the worst of positions, like, hey, you got to fire her. And, you know, his argument, I felt bad for Sarissa, but her his argument was like, okay, listen, you know, you're in the right, but hey, I got to do my job. They've asked you to leave. You know, unfortunately, you're fired.
Yeah.
Just go. You know what? It's a crappy situation, but just do you go.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because he did his job, and he wasn't happy at that moment doing his job because he knew that she – but at the end of the day, they both should have been fired. They both. Even though she wasn't wrong, but once you have that happen on the premises, you have to let both of them go. But it, just to keep – oh, it was just – what about John and Russell – booking out of the car. John couldn't even get out of the car for a minute.
yeah, they sprinted over there. I mean, again, you know, so Kevin's speaking about how he felt nervous for John. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they came there, and yeah, he can handle the two girls, but then all of a sudden, Matt comes out, and he's like, don't ever speak to my wife that way.
Well, no, Amanda scared me first by getting in John's face the way she did. I don't think I've seen anybody. No one's gotten in John's face like that before, have they? I mean, people have, but not like as violent as she was.
I mean, it was absolutely the most violent we've ever seen it. But again, with her, he wouldn't strike. You know what I mean?
No, he would know
with her. I think he know how to deal with her. But where you have all of a sudden, and we didn't know the extent. I didn't realize Matt was to the extent that he was until we got to the end of what was going on. I thought, you know, he was just poisoned by the wife, and she was just terrible. And, you know, he was just this poor guy that ultimately was just kind of following orders, which I've seen happen too many times. Don't get married in that. Don't marry someone with a smile. If she can't smile once a day, don't marry her.
No. I tell you, my mamaw told me this and my papaw before he passed on. He said, no matter what you do, you marry someone who's going to make you laugh because it's never that hard if it makes you laugh.
Yeah.
It's so true.
And she, I mean, she couldn't tell one joke.
No, she couldn't. But boy, I love when she's like, where's my bell? And he's like, here you go. No. He's like, if I got to keep her happy by getting her drunk, let's do it.
Yeah, but that's not a happy...
That's not happy, but... Oh, and then what about Dave, right? Lighting things on fire?
Russell was very upset.
You do not light things on fire that are in plastic. It melts. FYI.
How about the fact that they were actually rewashing those plastic cups?
I was so grossed out on so many levels tonight.
For me, ultimately, I was like, okay, I've seen worse. In these bars, I'm like, we've seen worse. So I wasn't too offended, but I was offended for Russell because again, so many of these, like, I'm the best bartender, you can't claim that title.
Why is it his episode? It's always his episode where it's like, I'm the best bartender in the South. I'm the best bartender in the Midwest. I'm the best bartender.
I think John. I don't know if it's a John call, but I think, you know, by obviously, they do kind of so much prep work for it, and so he might know of like, okay, this guy's calling himself. But let me get Russell, who actually is the best.
Oh, Russell, I love Russell, but there's so much to. Okay, we won't go there yet because there's so much.
But you know, so getting back to the fight, you know, with Matt again, that you didn't know where that was going to go with John.
They have to have at least one security guard on set.
Did you see any?
No, I didn't see any when we were
see?
There.
See?
Because, I mean, that guy, he's like, don't disrespect my wife, and just went nuts.
You know, and they make the world's stupidest decision right off the bat. Which, because, she was there, Amanda was there with them, right?
Yeah.
Commiserating. I mean, they're just smoking. They have that one little tiny room that they can go to, and they can have their alcohol and they just smoke.
Yeah, the little cesspool of hate room. It's just. And then so she talks them into firing Sarissa after John said, you are firing her or I'm not coming back. So then they fire Sarissa. Then John comes back in the morning and there she is, Amanda, like,
John's look
was
priceless.
Yeah.
He was like, are you for real?
I don't know what they would have, if John would have walked at that minute, I don't know what anybody, Spike or anybody would have done. find a bar right around the corner or something that needed repairs, or not repairs, but a makeover. Because at that point, I was like, these people just suck.
They you know, and you know, the problem was, I mean, John kind of could tell with the personalities. Like, Sick was the only one who was like, he knew kind of what he was doing. We didn't really know too much of Dave. I didn't know if he was redeemable, and you know how some people, we think they're the most deplorable, but sometimes they through John's process, they're able to grow. I thought perhaps Dave could have been like that, and I thought really it was just a case of the management, and at least maybe the employees, we can get them to that level, and so he would stick around for them. Because as soon as Six says, like what do you think was going to happen, like the guy said exactly what was going to happen. And
yeah, he was a voice of reason. But here's the thing about the voice of reason and crazy. It's crazier than crazy, because crazy doesn't listen to voice of reason. It never has, never will, never going to happen. It's just, it was, I mean, okay, so she's fired, Sarissa's fired. This girl's still here. John walks in and he told them, he goes, I told you she was here, I was leaving. So then they fire her. They bring Sarissa back, and he makes them apologize to her and says she's not kind of these people are just
– I know. They never say what they really –
They lost 2 days of training.
Let's talk about – I before we get into the training, which obviously there was none of, but I want to get into the fact of how manipulative Karen is. I mean, it's almost a sickly skill that I want to in some – demented way applaud, only because I feel so bad for this guy. And again, as she continued his grip on him, I felt ultimately bad for him, not knowing that he was a psychopath fighter. You know, he's like, it's my fault. And Taffer goes, no, it is her fault. She needs to admit it. And then she turns it on him. It's 80-20. You're 80.
Oh, yeah. I'm 20.
Like, what? And then he's like, you're right. You're right. I haven't done my part, and it's my fault, not your fault. Yeah, you got to stick up for me. That's bullshit.
You know what? There's a word for a man like that, and I cannot say it on air. And it's a picture word, so I hate to say it anyway. But there's a word for that.
It's pussycat whipped.
Yes. Thank you. That sounded a little bit better than what I was about to say.
What were you going to say? Just minus the cat?
And minus the whipped.
Okay. All right.
Take away two words, got one.
Fair enough. I mean, really, dude? Like, you know, I just feel bad. You know, and I could get hate mail for this, but people could say I'm hating on Karen because of her looks, and you know what? I went there, but it's not. It's her personality.
Yeah,
you know what? It's honest to God her personality that I hate. It's not her looks.
No. Because to be honest, because she drank like a fish, honestly, if she just cut out maybe 3 weeks of drinking, because you could tell that she was a really pretty girl at one point. Because he wasn't a bad-looking dude, so they were a good-looking couple at one point. She's a little weathered. And I'm not saying that she's not, because she still has looks to her, you know, and everything about it. But they had let, that's what alcoholism does to you. And I didn't even have a drink today. But that's what it does to you. And that, they just were the epitome of the people that you want to blow up somewhere.
Here's, you know, I've heard this from Dr. Drew on various
platforms. Amazing.
You know, it's, you know, the child that comes home from a test and, you know, the parent says, well, what did you get? I got a D. But it's the teacher's fault. That's childish thinking. And the problem is, now more than ever, I see so many adults that carry that kind of primitive thinking. And like, she had primitive thinking. It was all about her. It was never her fault. It was everyone else's.
Yeah, well,
it's not my fault. It's the teacher's fault I got a D. No, well, in the case of the child, no, the parents would say, hey, you got to study more. It's not the teacher's fault. Were there other kids who didn't get an A? Because I'm sure there are.
Yeah, and that's going on to teachers. Very good point, because I have two sisters that are teachers. Well, one special ed, so that doesn't really count. But my one sister, who is a teacher, she says, I see more parents nowadays blaming the teacher instead of saying, how can we work on this together? How can we make this happen? Oh, well, you're not doing this. No, that's not the teacher's job, because they already have like 20-something kids. That their job is not to teach just your kid. If your kid can't get it, then there's other ways to go get more help. But anyway, on to it. But these people, she's one of those people. If she would have came in last place, she's like, why didn't I get the trophy?
No.
I deserve that trophy.
I was cheated.
How were you treated? I don't know.
Oh, she'd make an excuse. She'd have the best excuse ever.
You were supposed to run across the finish line.
I'm hard of hearing. I didn't hear the gunshot at the start of the race.
She was like, hey.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like we're tearing these people apart.
Because they're terrible people!
They are terrible, awful human beings. And we go into this show, and we love doing this show. This is our, what, third?
The third of this season. Third. Although I never know, like,
it is the third season. I figured it out because it came out in Variety or
that season four was announced. I can't keep up with this show. I thought we were in season three long ago, and apparently we were. I don't know anymore.
Who knows? It just keeps going, which is great, and we're not complaining about that. Keep it running. Keep it running. But even a lot of these people, and they have all these problems and they're going down and all this stuff, you root for them. There was never, even Pirates, I rooted for Pirates. I still rooted for Pirates, even after they, well, no, I didn't. I rooted
because for them. We rooted because we felt bad for, you know, in like that moment IP of like that iconic moment. Do you want to be a pirate or you want to own a bar? And we joke about it, but you want her to say, I want to own a bar.
Yes. Headhunters with the cockroach guy. You didn't root for him, but you rooted for the employees. There's always something that you root for in these episodes, or someone that you root for.
And it was sick. It was sick.
And you knew what his fate was going to be.
Yeah.
You knew. Because they're stress test? Oh, my God.
Atrocious.
What was it? 6 drinks in 40 minutes? And they had 3 or 4 bartenders. Who does that?
They had the two shakers, one broken, like, right off the bat.
And Dave. I liked Dave because I was like, oh, he's going to get it. Couldn't get it. Could not get it. The only one who was doing good was Sarissa, too. Sarissa did good. She stopped drinking, and she was fine. The look on Karen's face the whole time during the stress test, you know when someone's like, I want to smack that look off your face?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly how I felt.
Well, John's very much about, you know, front-to-back management, meaning you start, you know, you're always, if there's customers, you got to be up front. You know, the day stuff you can do later, you know, in the back. And in this case, yeah, she just, all she wanted to do, you know, it wasn't her familiar place anymore, so she wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really commend John for having the talk that he did with Matt of like, hey, listen, man to man, have you seen her smile once? No. So tell her to smile. It's a simple thing, but tell her to smile. And he couldn't man up even in those terms and do it.
Just say, can you smile? What was he afraid? Was he afraid that she was going to haul off and just whip him?
I don't know.
Because there was nothing in there. Because even the way John said it to him wasn't bad. Just say to your wife, smile a little bit more.
Because he engaged Matt in that sense of like, hey, like, do you think you could sell more drinks if she smiled? Yeah, I think I could.
Yeah.
And so there you go. He didn't push you. He didn't like yell at you, you know, as he's been yelling this whole time. Like, no. And then my favorite was, she goes into the back and starts Facebooking. And the joke was, oh, she's spreading the social media. She's tweeting. She's making sure. Yeah. Good job.
What about the pizza? It took an hour. That pizza, hour. And it fell in the back of the pizza thing.
Okay, this was the stupidest pizza I've ever seen. Okay, you know how they typically say, like, and a makeshift kitchen, and a makeshift kitchen, and the blah, blah, blah? This was not a makeshift kitchen. This was, like,
they would have this done was a dorm a room
toaster. That's all it was.
They should have had a hot plate cooked, too, so they could cook soup.
Yeah. Let's get some ramen going while we're at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had a microwave. They could have done the ramen. That actually could have been kitschy. That could have been kitschy. How, you know, people see that. They're like, oh, I'll get it. Mind you of your childhood. Instead of about my childhood.
Clearly, that was what they were going for. Your childhood O-face as you taste this ramen.
Why did you just have... Oh, Phil.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I'm just commenting on what's there.
Oh, well, lack thereof. But there was just so much. So he closes the bar. And these people, everybody leaves, all this stuff. He comes back in the morning. He tells them to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, he gets there at 8:30. They're sitting, once again, the cesspool of hell, that office. It's like, it sucks them in. It's like, like a succubus. A succubus. That's what that office is. And it sucked them all in, and they're all, rah, 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 rah.
It just goes to show there's no leader. When you show up, you know, I mean, I commend them for showing up when they, I guess, should have. But someone should go like, hey, guys, you know what? The dude asked us to do this. Can we, like, you know, yeah, we're going to suck at it, but, like, can we put out some cups at least? Like, yeah. Let's pretend, if nothing else.
No, they couldn't do it. And then even Sick was like, guys, come on. He's here to help us. Like, he was, once again, the voice of reason. Voice of reason. We saw what happened tonight.
And how quickly they turned on him. Oh,
well, let's, first of all, because we're jumping into something else that I want to jump into before we go all in, let's talk about them training with Russell. Let's just give a minute to that.
Okay, so once they kind of get back into it, Russell's with them.
Yeah. And they couldn't do it.
No.
And he was like, he was doing it as exactly like a drill sergeant would, but exactly, if that place is going to be busy, and any bar, if you've ever been in a really busy bar, if it's working well, you will see it works like a well-oiled machine a beautiful song.
What was nice is that, you know, it was quiet, and he was the only one talking in that respect, so he was telling them what to do. You know, he even goes what's our girl's name? Sicily?
Oh, Sarissa.
Sarissa. He goes like, hey, you might want to get, like, I know the drinks aren't ready yet, but you might need a tray to carry them, so come on. You know, so boom, boom, yeah. Boom. It's all about the, how many times do I say, Roy? It's all about the preparation.
It's all prep. It's all prep.
All the time.
Anticipating. That's all it is. And so, like, yeah, okay, the drinks aren't done yet, but guess what? When they finally, after 4 hours, get done, you might want to put them on a tray to get, you know what I mean? But, because then after the... You know, I'm just making up numbers. But after 4 hours, you know, you're going to need – that's another 30 seconds just to get the tray. Let's be anticipating. Let's be moving.
And they couldn't do it. I just
– you had to do was listen. That's it. You had to do was listen.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you know, you see people that don't have a leader. And it's like they keep walking into a wall because someone's telling them – not to walk into a wall. So what they're going to keep doing is just keep walking into a wall because that's what they know. And
yeah,
it just, so John then walks in. They're in that cesspool of hell, that office. They're all talking. Six says he's here to help us. Nobody seems to really care. Yeah. Not even Sarissa, who we were talking so nice about. She didn't seem to really care either at that point.
No.
Well, she was caught up in it. And so he's like, John couldn't believe it. He could not believe what he saw.
Yeah, I mean, he called out Sick as the only person that, you know, he didn't mind. I forget the word he used per se. But then he brought everyone out, and it kind of gets blurry for me in terms of the timeline exactly, just because so much happened. I mean, I literally saw this like 3 times, and I still can't remember exactly what happened when. But, that conversation about the name and the changing, like, hey, guys, we didn't get the train, you know, but explain this concept to me. Like, I got to create a new concept for you guys. But O-Face, is any one of you proud? And Ali's Karen, like, speak up. If you're really that proud of it, speak up.
Well, and John brought up a good point. He's like, show me your O-Face. If you really want to keep the name of this bar, show me your O-face. And she was like shocked and appalled. Really? You want to keep the name, but you don't want to do your O-face? And that, and I like when you, and they're like, so, do you think if I change the name? He goes, I have a feeling she's going to change it back. What do you think? It's like, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, yeah. And then that's when they all went into the back and they alienated Sick.
Yeah, and that, it wasn't, no, it was our girl Cicely.
Sarissa.
Our girl Sarissa, she's the one that said, like, I'd bet on you, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why would you bet?
When two days ago, this woman
was pummeling your face.
It wasn't her that said it. It was the daughter.
Oh, the daughter. Thank you.
Of course she would say that.
Because it's her mom. Exactly. Yeah. So I give her that. I give the daughter who didn't say anything except for that. Yeah, okay. Because that's your mom and you want to, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, there's plenty of kids out there who don't have the best of parents. And you know what? They're smart enough to realize, like, hey, this is a crap situation. And you know what? It is their fault. But I, as the child, and not, I don't have to be like them.
Yeah, but she's, no. Because, first of all, okay. We already saw the actions of the mother, and I think that the daughter was somewhat a little afraid of her. Because this isn't like when a horse walks into the bar and the daughter said whatever she wanted to say to the parents, you know, and it was for the good of the parents. She said nothing. She allowed all of this to happen.
This was literally a dictatorship from Karen. Like, yeah. She was the dictator. Like, that bell, that's what that meant.
Yeah. I'm going to sit here all night long. I'm going to ring this bell. I'm going to get my drink. I'm going to ring this bell. I'm going to get my drink. You all are going to do what I tell you to do no matter
what. When I tell you to do it. Exactly. And it doesn't, you know.
God bless her. God bless her on that one. And
in what way?
I'm like, that's amazing. But if you're going to do that, use your powers for good. You could have had a lot more money. Like, if people, like, I know people like that, and they're pretty rich, and they do pretty well because people listen to them. But she's in her little pool and she's happy and she's, you know.
Here's the thing. Misery popular. Is just as agreeable as happiness.
You're
Sebastian
correct.
Horsley said that. Listen to, he had a great interview on a Canadian station way back when before his suicide. But I think it's like 2005 interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he talks about all these kind of things. But yeah, misery is just as agreeable as happiness.
And he is correct on that.
So.
He is very, very correct on that. Ugh. You know. Oh, so now we're at the point.
There's no remodel.
It's happening. It is happening. And those people.
So many. I mean, this is worse than the Mystic murder.
Oh, that one was sad, though.
You know what I mean? Like, but and this just police record after police record. And the one question I have is, where do we find this footage?
Well, yeah, that was exactly. One of the girls I work with is now obsessed with the show, and she knows that I do this show, and she talked to me this morning, and I had watched a little bit of it. I hadn't watched the whole show, so she decided to tell me a lot more than I really wanted to know before I watched it. But I was, you know, I entertained it because she's so excited about it.
Yeah.
And hi, Rachel. And so she was like, that footage that they got. Do you think that was staged? She goes, I know you have told me that the show is real, but I find it very hard to believe that you just find this footage that looks pretty amazing to show up. She goes, but then what are you going to do? You have like 15 extra minutes of what are you going to do because he's walking out.
I mean, yeah, you know, I don't doubt that the footage is real. I want to know how recent. I mean, because
I think it had to be recent because it looks like it was shot by the camera crew.
Literally, before John was coming, they were probably.
That's what it looked like. It looked like this guy. He threw a pot at him. He threw a ceramic pot at him. Did you see that? That was amazing.
I did. The thing is, it was snowing when they left. When John left, it was snowing on the ground. Yeah. And then when they showed that, it was a sunny day. So maybe that was. Different
and he was wearing shorts, so it makes sense. I think he was wearing shorts and it looked like it was hot. And when they left,
it's not beyond these people to film their own stupid stuff,
And I'm sure that they're idiotic enough to put it out on YouTube and stuff. Like, here's my thing, people, on my little soapbox for a minute, if you don't want it out there, don't tape it. If you heck, all of a sudden,
don't
oh,
do it.
Why, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. I can't. You're an idiot who taped it. You videotaped it. You deserve it if it's out there.
Better yet, don't do it.
Well, yes. Well, that's what I was trying to say, but I decided to go off a little bit more.
Don't tape it. Don't tape it.
Don't tape it.
If you're going to be a world-class, terrible employee, he just
hauled off and hit him, dude. Hit him. Like he was, and excuse my language, someone's bitch. And that's because I can't think of another way to say it. Am I correct on that? There is no other way to say it. And you know I rarely curse on this show. But that's what he treated him. He treated Dave like Karen treated him. And he was able to take his anger out on somebody.
And then turned to sick. Yo, $10 an hour?
Oh, I'll pay you $10 more an hour if you put him through a window.
Okay, one, for how long? Because you know that's, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that in itself is the most false promise I've ever heard of.
I'll pay you $10 more an hour. Yeah, and wait, here's the kicker. They still talk to each other.
All of them.
They all still talk to each other. That was amazing. If someone had ever done that to me, I would, A, never come back. B, probably sue because I had videotape. But well, it's not videotape anymore because I just showed how old I really am.
But there's iPhone footage.
There's all these things. And yet they stayed. He stayed. Dave stayed.
Because you know what? Sometimes it's just easier to go with what's familiar.
He's like, we talked it out. Yeah, we clearly talked it out. Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know what's sad is that I don't doubt this happening because it's the same way like spousal abuse, unfortunately, where it's so many cases you hear of, you know, the woman getting beaten and then she's right back at it. And like, and sticking up for the guy like, oh, I deserved it. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, I see so many of those things. But
was it better to be with the devil you know than the devil you don't? Probably. I think that's the saying.
That is a saying. Yeah. Just, you know, so don't abide by that saying. Yeah. But on a lighter note, let's give a call to our peeps, Roy. If you would dial them in.
You got it. You ready for? I'm about to hit call right now.
All right. Let's hear the ring. Let's do
star 67.
Whatever. They can have our studio number. I don't care.
Oh, you're calling from the studio.
Yeah, I'm not calling from my phone.
Yeah, this is what I'm worried about, is that they're going to call you, Phil.
Yeah, they're going to be amazing. They can call AfterBuzz, but, you know, keep calling AfterBuzz. I don't care.
Where'd it go? Go ahead. It should be.
Oh. I'm not dialing. You dial. And we're getting it. What's going on, Roya?
It's dialing. It says ringing, and then it shuts down. Are you sure that's the correct number?
That's what, okay, if that was on their website, I'm going to read it out loud to you because I can, because who cares? It's their website.
And it's a public place.
Yeah. So 712-322-9787. And
it's connecting.
All right. We're connecting. That's good.
And then it just ends.
All right, let me see what I can do. I'm going to call from my phone. It's probably not an in-service number anymore. But let's Council Bluffs, Iowa.
The number you dialed is not a working number.
Ah, they got a different number. They got a different... So, it is.
Now we need to find out if that place is open. I just need to know because when they did, so John, then they go back into the frickin' office and John is now pissed. He goes in there. He's like, I'm out.
You know, I mean, even Six said from the beginning, like, John, you know, I know you have a reputation to uphold, but, you know, help us. And it ultimately got to a point like, dude, I can't. You want me to I've built 30 years for you? No. 30 years to be gone for you? No.
No.
I can't do that. Are you crazy?
No.
You don't deserve it. You guys are not good human beings.
You don't deserve it. You didn't. You wanted the help without actually taking. You wanted the help without actually doing the job that it took.
Correct.
So I mean, ridiculous, ridiculous. So he left. John left, and I cheered. So I actually cheered on the bus. I want to let you all know I was on the bus. I was like, yeah. And people were like, what is wrong with her? Because I watched it twice myself today.
All right. And on that note, let's get into kind of predictions.
Well, we can't. We're part of this whole thing.
I'm not going to predict everything.
Okay. I love that we do predictions every week on this show, but we know it's going to happen. Well, we didn't know it was going to happen this week. Well, we kind of knew it was going to happen this week.
I knew before the Facebook thing went out. And then I was like, again, I was kind of confused. Why did it go out? Taffer walks, but, you know.
Taffer talks, Taffer walks.
You know, next week is going to be great. You have Adam Carolla and our founder, Maria Menounos, on the show. And, of course, Kevin's going to be there and whatnot. And we have Mia coming in studio.
Yes, who is a blessing doll. She's so nice. I like her so much.
She's so excited to
come. We have to go in and see her, Phil. You know, my birthday's next week. Maybe that's what we should do for my birthday.
So many people's birthdays coming up.
I know. But we have her coming. Yeah, but it's going to be a great show. And when you watch it, you're going to see a lot of familiar faces. If you listen or watch our show, you'll hear familiar voices.
If you watch a lot of AfterBuzz, you'll see a good deal of many people.
Yes, you'll see there's a special guest. A lot of guest appearances by a lot of AfterBuzzers. It was a fun. I want to let y'all know it was a fun time, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Yeah, and I'll hold.
We'll hold our thoughts.
I was going to say something fun, but I'll hold it for next week. So thank you guys for tuning in, Kevin Undergaro. if you're listening, which I know you are, you have to be back next week.
Hi, Kevin.
The fans are in uproar over this. I know, John, don't hate me for you know, I know John loves Kevin on the podcast, and I feel so bad every time he can't be here. So, John, just like Russell, by the way, I learned this from Russell. All I want to do like Russell is just make you proud. And the anxiety that gives me is just...
It's true. It is so true. I always want to make... Those two men I want to make proud all the time.
Yeah. So hopefully we've done you justice.
Kevin doesn't scare me like John Taffer.
This was an insane episode for a number of reasons. So we hope we did it justice in whatever fashion we could. We were a little bit more lighthearted than perhaps Kevin would have been because it hits more deeper with Kevin. I had to go the more satire route with things.
Well, honestly, because I could have went into a dark, dark hole about this whole thing, but I was like, I got to make it funny because if I went there, this would have been the worst hour of our life.
Yeah, and so you know what? Sometimes you just in life again. Karen doesn't have humor, and you know what? If there's one thing that separates hopefully all of you listeners and all of us is that we can find happiness in no matter what we do. And you know what? If you can find happiness. You can get through anything.
That is very true.
So on that note.
You can find me on Twitter at LulaCherryFilms and on Instagram at DorindaB1. Hit it, Phil.
And follow us here on AfterBuzz TV on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And thank you. Thank you so much to you guys who follow the show. You know, Kevin even Instagrammed a picture while watching it. And so many of you commented. And one in particular from the hometown that – this episode took place and he was just appalled by them and he was saddened by that, you know, that this is his town. And so, you know, a lot of you guys are responding and, you know, we appreciate that, not because of us, but because of how great Bar Rescue, the show we talk about, is, you know. So, you know what, John Taffer, we salute you.
Kudos.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.